This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As a lawyer, seeing what's happening to the Tate brothers is just so, so enraging. Crime, that's preposterous. That is contrary to the fundamental principles of international law and human rights. You could actually tell your loyalty to the principles of justice when you see how you want it applied to those who you disagree with. A normal case with a normal individual, I believe the Tates would absolutely be out. It's actually an insult to women. It's an insult to women. In fact, even if I disagreed with everything they stood for, I would stand by this position because as a lawyer, I took an oath to protect justice. And that's gone too much, and it's a disservice to the many, many women that are actual victims of abuse. Regardless of who it is, I as a lawyer would never tolerate the idea that a human being can be locked up by the full force and power of a Sam Bankman-Fried. This guy allegedly was involved in a scheme that...
But then they end up, he ends up accepting Islam.
He ends up accepting Islam.
And then he comes back and now he's in jail. Does this have anything to do with his decision to take Islam as a way of life?
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We went to the streets to ask Americans about Islam. Here's what they said. Do you know anything about Islam?
No.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sadly.
Do you know anything about Islam?
Not really.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sorry.
Do you know what Islam means?
Islam? No.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
That's what you've been told, that Muslims are out to kill you all?
Well, that's what they say on TV.
Anything.
I know it's in the Middle East, isn't it?
Well, that you're going to have four wives.
Brothers and sisters, as you can see, there are so many Americans who don't know about Islam. We need your help to change that. Help us to build the Deen Center, the first mega Dawah center in America. Click to donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
Andrew Tate, Tristan Tate, it's all over the news, and we want to get to the bottom of things, try to understand things a little bit better. They're still detained, not charged, and who better to give us a better understanding than a lawyer? So someone who has experience in this field, in this realm. We're at the law office of Shibley and Shibley.
Yeah, mashallah, Muslim Legal.
We have one God, His name's Allah, Allah. And His final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon Him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show, the Deen Show.
Muslim Legal. So you're also a trial lawyer, a civil rights lawyer. Can you give us a little bit of background?
Yeah, at my law firm, you know, I did about a decade of civil rights defense for the Muslim community. Alhamdulillah, running one of the largest American Muslim civil rights organizations. And through Allah's grace, now we have a private practice which really aims to providing Islamic ethical quality representation to the Muslim community and help them meet their legal needs in an Islamic ethical way. We do everything from Islamic estate planning and wills to marriages and divorces, hopefully in a Sharia-compliant manner, to business contracts. And we do quite a bit of civil rights work and criminal defense. In fact, just within the last couple months, we've had numerous Muslims in the state of Florida who were wrongfully arrested or charged with crimes they did not commit. And by getting involved early, gathering the evidence, and providing it with the to the prosecution, able to get the charges completely dismissed. But what does that teach you? That teaches you that innocent people get arrested and charged all the time, and you need to have a strong legal system in place in order to be able to liberate them. And I think that's why, as a lawyer, seeing what's happening to the Tate brothers is just so, so enraging and just disgusting.
Yeah, I wanted to get your perspective as an attorney, a lawyer, practicing for many years. These cases that you've tried, this is in the United States. This is a little bit different because it's in Romania now.
Sure. Well, we've had cases international. I mean, one of the...
You've had international
absolutely.
Cases.
And we were able to use the media and political pressure to liberate those who are even wrongfully arrested overseas. And we see that the U.S. government has the power to do that. I mean, you look at most recently a case, obviously I wasn't involved in, but of a basketball player who, you know, flew into Russia with THC oil, which is illegal over there. Frankly, it's illegal in the U.S. And that's a crazy thing I want to discuss, but the U.S. government put forward its full influence and power to demand that she be released. And she was convicted. She was facing years in hard labor, and the U.S. government was able to get her, after a conviction, released and back to the U.S. Meanwhile, though, we're locking up people for the same crimes here domestically.
Let's get to the evidence. Put emotions to the side. It's going to be very emotional for a lot of people, and a lot of people, you know, are on one side of the fence or the other. But many people are also now who are objectively looking at this and looking at the evidence. They're seeing that, okay, it doesn't hold weight. You even had so many different people coming out and saying, okay, they haven't been charged. Charge them already. If they did something wrong, okay, charge them, prosecute them. But they're being detained without charges now. And now the evidence, let's go over that. Let's look at the evidence, and then you as an attorney, you can give your perspective.
Right. So let's look at the situation right now. So far, these brothers have been arrested since December. They're going on 3 months in a Romanian jail with completely abhorrent conditions without being charged with a single crime. Mind you, the brothers have been wiretapped at least for the 10 months prior. You know, they've had the eyes of the world on them and clearly the eyes of the Romanian government. And the fact that they've been spying on them for 10 months, they've had them in jail for 3 months, and they could potentially, under Romanian law, they could potentially hold them for up to 180 days without being charged with a crime. That's preposterous. That is contrary to the fundamental principles of international law and human rights. Governments should never have the ability and the authority to detain individuals, human beings, without charges for such a long period of time. It's preposterous. It's unheard of. And it's just crazy. And the fact that so many people, even in the U.S., are okay with it just because they disagree with the Tates on some political views or social views, that doesn't matter. The principles of liberty are paramount for all of us. And if any one of us, see, you could actually tell your loyalty to the principles of justice when you see how you want it applied to those who you disagree with. If you're okay with those whom you disagree with having their rights violated, then what you've done is you've destroyed your own rights as well.
That's a good point.
You know, as a lot of great Americans have said, listen, I may disagree with your views, but I will die defending your right to say it. Because if you lose your freedom to say something I disagree with, then we've all lost our freedom. And this is what we've seen with the Tates. You know, the Tates, arguably the most famous people in the world. I mean, certainly Andrew Tate was the most Googled person. And, you know, very, very soon after he publicly embraces Islam, starts sharing quotes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, starts talking about the beauty of our deen, all of a sudden he's arrested on allegedly years-old charges, which just don't hold water. So let's talk about it. Let's start about where we are right now, how we got here, and what that means for the principles of liberty and justice for all humanity.
Yeah, if that's just a coincidence, what you said, that he recently accepted Islam, and does this have anything to do with it? Before we even get to that, let's look at the evidence.
Sure.
That supposed evidence that's there, starting with, if you as an attorney, if you had evidence now, or even the prosecution here, if there's evidence that can exonerate your defendant, they're obliged to take that.
They have to turn it over. They have to make it accessible to the defense. And frankly, they have to review it. And that's why we've had so much success in the U.S.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned to you, over the last year, we've had multiple cases of actually community leaders, imams, sisters that run charity organizations in the U.S. either getting arrested or charged with false crimes. And alhamdulillah, they contacted our office. We were able to review the evidence presented to the prosecution, and the prosecution had to review it. And when they reviewed it, because they're sincere, they thanked us. They said, we weren't aware of this. We're dropping all charges.
That's where now in Romania, it's a little bit different.
It's completely different. Not only are they not turning over any exculpatory or vindicating evidence, it seems that they are actually actively trying to stop that evidence from being made public. Certainly, they're not reviewing it. Certainly, they're not working with the defense towards truth. It's very clear it's a politically driven situation. So let's talk about the evidence. So because I think when you see what's out there and you see the conditions they're in, it's mind-blowing. So the facts are, again, these brothers have been in jail since December, and we're going 3 months, up to 180 days that they could be held. We've seen a complete silence amongst the Western governments that claim to be proponents of liberty and justice.
Let's go ahead and look at objectively the evidence that's presented, and then one by one, if it carries weight.
Right. I mean, and regardless, this is what we have to understand, regardless of who it is,
regardless,
I as a lawyer would never tolerate the idea that a human being can be locked up by the full force and power of a government for not just 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, but now 3 months.
Without being charged.
Without being charged. That is abhorrent. I don't care if you're accused of murder, of terrorism, of rape. The power of the government to incarcerate and take away the greatest thing, which is fundamental human liberty, it cannot exist without due process, without justice, without evidence, which should result in charges. And the fact that they haven't been able to charge them for this long, I mean, if they're really so guilty, bring forward even lesser charges, and then you could always increase the charges down the road. But the fact that they haven't been able to throw any charges on them. And listen, we live in the U.S. Can I tell you how many times people have been charged and still they were innocent? Let's talk about how many times people have been convicted and they were innocent. I mean, in the U.S., we saw the case of Adnan Syed. Where are all those people who stood by Adnan Syed for years? Why aren't they not speaking out? Adnan Syed was convicted, allegedly, of murdering his girlfriend. And now, I don't know, is it a decade or two later, was just released, exonerated. It reminds us that, listen, innocent people get arrested. Innocent people get charged. Innocent people even get convicted. And the fact of the Tate brothers, they haven't even been able to charge them, and they're holding them now for 3 months. It's an attack on liberty for all humanity.
The strongest evidence that they have, let's take a look right at it, and you as an attorney now, give us your perspective on
Well, first of all, two of the alleged victims that were on the victims list publicly came out saying, what are you talking about? We're not victims, you know. And the government's response is, oh, you're brainwashed. And they gave them that diagnosis without even any mental health professional speaking with them. So it's like they're just ready on their defense points. They're so sloppy in what they're doing that they're putting people on the victims list that are openly saying to the world on social media, hey, we are not victims. Tate didn't do anything wrong to us. You know, do not include us in this prosecution. We have nothing to do with
and
it.
And they've gone above and beyond. They've made videos. They've come
absolutely
out.
Absolutely. Very vocally speaking out. And that's actually an insult to women. It's an insult to women. It's taking away the mind and the agency and the authority of a woman. That woman, listen, you're too dumb to know if you're a victim. That's what the government spells out, actually. That's an insult to women. Where's all the women rights activists not speaking out? You know, women have agency. They have authority. They have the power to have consent or not. And when a woman comes out and says, hey, I'm not a victim, and for the government to say, no, you're so stupid, you're brainwashed, you don't know what you're talking about, it's an insult to women everywhere. It's an insult to liberty everywhere. So that's the first issue, is right off the bat, when you have the list of alleged victims, at least two of them have spoken out very vocally saying, we're not, and the government's saying, we're not going to listen to you. Mm-hmm. You're wrong. You are a victim, whether you like it or not. And that just is an insult to women everywhere. That's the first thing. The second thing, I mean, the explosive, and you've covered this so well, the explosive text messages between two of the alleged victims.
So now we got another two.
Right.
That you're bringing up now.
Another two with a history of accusing those they don't like. I mean, I believe one of these women, she got mad with her mom, so she made accusations against her. Her own mother. She got in a bad relationship. She made accusations against him. She knows, listen, we live in this Me Too world where if you're a woman and you don't like someone, just run your mouth, make up some BS, and you'll gather a lot of support. And that's gone too much, and it's a disservice to the many, many women that are actual victims of abuse. You know, and my office has represented so many women that are actual victims of domestic violence, of rape, of abuse. And they're so disheartened by those that loudly make up such claims just to gain an advantage, in a divorce, to extort someone for money. Whereas the true victims are actually often too scared to speak out and often afraid people won't believe them. But it's because of thugs like these people who want to take advantage for their own personal agenda. So you look at these two women now. It's not just he said, she said. We have their own words. We have the WhatsApp conversations where they're saying they're going to get an Oscar for their acting. Where they say, man, your acting is so good. Yes, I've been practicing. Where they're celebrating that they're colluding with each other to frame the Tates, and how rich and famous and popular they're going to be, even getting their own Netflix special. So we have that evidence. I mean, that in and of itself, again, shows that these women clearly are conspiring to commit a crime, to falsely accuse someone, and to get that for their own personal benefit.
I mean, that by itself now, because these are the two key witnesses
right.
of the case, I believe. Just this by itself should be enough to exonerate them, to have them set them free, I think.
No, absolutely. I mean, it should be enough to exonerate, at least have them released pending any other concrete evidence to arrest them. Because even in the U.S., when you're, I mean, look at Sam Bankman-Fried. This guy allegedly was involved in a scheme that you know, resulted in the theft and embezzlement of billions of dollars. He's out living in his parents' home right now. And, you know, he's got access to God knows how much crypto wealth that's hidden, that's untraceable, you know. And yet he's free to live in his parents' home pending the investigation. Mm-hmm. And yet the Tates, with such flimsy accusations against them, have been locked up in horrid conditions for months. Again, I don't care if you like or hate the Tates. In fact, even if I disagreed with everything they stood for, I would stand by this position, because as a lawyer, I took an oath to protect justice for all humanity. And I know that when those, even that we disagree with, when they lose their rights, we've all lost our rights. And the timing of it, which we need to talk more about the timing of the arrest, mm-hmm. is just shocking. But let's get more into the point. So you have the WhatsApp messages
yes.
where they're admitting to conspiring to set up the Tates, right? And that they're such good actors and they're going to make so much money and fame off of this.
Now, I've seen where people, they go into some of the messages now that they're having with their mother, but it seems like with those, when you look at the transcripts, they're like they're coming in and deceiving their mother, because now they're, you know, saying one thing and then this conversation happens later on.
Right. And their mother was freaking out and she doesn't know the truth from the falsehood, and it's just a mess.
So there's a lot of manipulation.
A lot of manipulation, and this is a problem. We have to talk about this problem. There is a theme. In particular, in 2023 now, of certain angry women who don't get what they want, who manipulate and abuse the system for their own benefit. And a lot of us are enabling that. And it's destructive. And you know what? They ultimately pay the price. I mean, I do family law.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen spouses come out with the craziest accusations and waging war against their ex-spouse, knowing they're going to get support. And they'll get some support initially. But then, as the time wears off, they're like, what have I done? I've destroyed myself. I've lied. I've manipulated. And usually, it catches up with them. And usually, they regret it. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this happen again and again. But we live in a culture that enables that. And what we don't understand is, it's not just harming those that are accused. It's really even destroying the accusers and their families.
How does it work? Because these two women, one is from the U.S., the other one is from U.K.
Right.
They say the Moldovan
sure,
one. Right?
Sure.
So now.
And there's actual criminal investigation against, because you got to remember, this all started back, I believe, in April.
Yes.
Where the Tate's home was raided based, again, on false accusations. The Tate.
It actually started back then.
Correct. Yeah. And they actually count, and nobody was arrested then. Again, there was no reason to arrest them. But what the Tate said is actually countered with criminal charges and investigation against the accusers.
Yeah.
And because there has to be accountability, you cannot simply falsely accuse someone, potentially destroy their life. Mm-hmm. So another piece of evidence, so we spoke about two of the victims, alleged victims, coming out and saying, we're not victims. And the government said, be quiet, you don't know what you're talking about. We spoke about now two of them conspiring to bring down the Tates to gain fame. And in their own words, again, having had done this before, having a pattern of doing this. Third is we have the CCTV footage, the security footage.
This is very important here, this footage here.
Absolutely.
That which prosecution committee is not...
The prosecution has taken and is refusing to release it. I believe they haven't even given it to the defense, if I'm not mistaken. But that really destroys their case because, again, it shows the woman coming in and out freely of the compound. It shows the dynamics of the environment, the relationship, and I think it really destroys their case. You can't be captured, you know, and not free to leave when you're sitting there laughing and joking and just coming and going about as you please. Again, it's just a very common theme of people consensually entering into whatever kind of relationships, whether platonic or otherwise, then trying to take advantage, trying to extort, trying to get money, And when they don't get what they want, saying, you know what, I'm gonna say whatever I want to say, and the world's gonna believe me, because guess what? Hashtag believe her, hashtag me too. And it's a shame, especially when Muslims support that, because where would Yusuf alayhi salam, and I'm not comparing anyone to anyone, but we have to take historic lessons. Where would Yusuf alayhi salam be with hashtag believe her, hashtag me too? The Quran itself speaks about this disease of false accusations, right, against people in a position of influence and success. You know, the story of Yusuf, I'm very clear, the man was falsely accused of rape. And Aisha radiallahu anha, falsely accused of fornication. Again, we can't continue to blindly support accusations without evidence and stand by as people literally lose their liberty.
This doesn't really look good for the Romania, does it? At the end,
I think it's clear Romanian justice system is a joke, is very corrupt, politically driven, and is certainly not a country
for the rest of history. Now, I mean, what are the people going to remember of Romania?
It's humiliating.
A humiliation, an unjust country.
And I believe it shows how easily their politicians and their leaders may be bought out.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of Romanians are speaking out also. You've
Correct.
Seen the news come forward, so there's a few there. Can it be politically motivated by one party there?
Or? You know, I think it's a slap in the face to public freedom, because I think what they want to show is, look, it doesn't matter if you're the most famous man in the world. If we want to get you, we can. And it's going to have a chilling effect. Or that's what they want it to have. They want to have a chilling effect to keep people quiet, to keep people in line, to keep people promoting whatever agendas they have. And when you speak out, they want to say, we don't care if you're the most famous person, we'll get you. And I think that's the scary thing. And we cannot give in to that. We have to continue to be fearless and courageous. We need to all speak out. You know, there's people actually would advise me not to speak out because, oh, the Tates are too controversial. But listen, I more than anyone firsthand know what it's like to be falsely accused and see that those who make the accusations in the end, they're just really destroying themselves. And Allah himself promises, do not think it is bad for you, it is good for you. When believers face injustice, they will always come out on top. And I do believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put good in this for the Tate brothers, absolutely.
What else do we have
so
here?
Moving on, you have the CCTV footage, hasn't been released. It shows them coming in and out, completely destroys the case and the accusations.
Just stop there for a moment. This is for people to understand. There's cameras all over the house.
Correct.
Watching people.
And if you're doing something illegal, you certainly wouldn't want to record it and document it.
It's kind of like those TV shows, reality shows, right?
Right.
That you imagine.
Big Brother.
You have these shows with cameras all over, and now this is what the prosecution doesn't want to use as evidence.
Right. If what they're saying is true, they would want to release that.
Yeah.
Because it should solidify their case,
but it becomes, it's a game now. It's
correct.
Like, okay? It's
correct.
Not about justice.
Correct.
Yeah.
And finally, frankly, you have the social media. Mm-hmm. Of the alleged victims themselves. Mm-hmm. It shows them vacationing and traveling and having fun and being free, or even after when they were allegedly victims. Mm-hmm. You know, it just destroys their case. And I've seen that because, again, I firsthand witnessed, a woman will claim to be locked up and beaten and abused by her husband. Meanwhile, her social media shows her traveling the world first class. And the crazy thing is, people will ignore their social media, ignore the facts, and just, they wanna believe. They want to support this idea that, yes, the men are bad and women can never lie. And then you look at the facts and the reality when the dust settles, and people often have regrets. And that's why Allah says, verify, do not blindly believe anything.
Look, there's hope for all people. I don't want to, just by bringing what I'm going to say next, is, look, if a person has been through everything in life and they chose the worst path in life, you know, there's always hope for that person. Even if that person was a stripper, a prostitute, which in this case,
They are. That's who the accusers are.
So they're in this world, this realm, and we don't want injustice to happen to anybody. And that person, in Islam, you have that prostitute who fed the dog, gave water to the dog.
And Allah forgave her.
And gave her paradise, right? So those women also, we want good for them, for guidance for them, and to change their lives around, right? To speak the truth, not to perpetuate lies and misinformation. And in this situation, this is not like someone, if you look at who the people are. This is actually, does this carry weight now when you're in a situation like this and you're defending a case or anything? Do you bring up, their profession, their job, that you have someone here, one is a prostitute, the other one is a pole dance, a stripper? Or?
I think more important than their job, which I think it's important to understand context, is their history.
Their history combined with their professions?
Combined with do they have a history of going after successful men?
Yeah.
And extorting them and then accusing them when they don't get what they want. You know, if the same individual somehow has allegedly been, you know, targeted by multiple wealthy men, and all these men have raped them,
yeah,
and okay, and she's come out again and again with these accusations, you know, maybe she's the one doing the plotting. And that's why I appreciate the example in the last episode, which was like the whole, you know, the opposite of the lover boy condition, right? Mm-hmm. Where they come up, I mean, they know what they're doing, you know, they're presenting themselves as lovers to these men, and that they cherish them, that they genuinely love them, to get in their circle, to benefit from being within that circle, to live the luxury lifestyles, the nice restaurants, the jets, you know, the travels, the vacations, the nice watches. And then usually there comes a point where they just want cold hard cash. You know, they extort them, hey, listen, give, you know, pay up, or I'm going to start, you know.
Yeah, and this is another trend, what we're saying. I mean, right. It's wrong when men do it, but also you have women who manipulate men.
Both sides do it. And listen, as Muslims, we're not pro-men or pro-women. We are pro-justice. And Allah commands us to speak out for justice. And again, what concerns me about this case is it reflects everything that's wrong with a culture that wants to believe or disbelieve individuals simply based on their gender. Yeah. Men lie, women lie. Men can be truthful, women can be truthful.
Yes, yeah.
Not everyone is perfect. We all have our sins, mm-hmm, and our shortcomings, and we may have disagreements on different things. But again, you cannot disregard the principles of due process and justice. And I believe the Tate case is a classic example of the disregard of the principles of human rights and justice. And again, which we didn't dive into yet, when did they decide to bring the world down on them?
So we're done here with looking at the evidence.
Yeah, I mean, these are the key pieces to point out.
So if this was something that you were defending, prosecuting on either side, you're looking for, is this something that would just be here in the United States, just pretty much thrown out?
I mean, if I was in the U.S., if this was in the U.S., if I was representing the Tates, we would immediately prepare sworn affidavits from the woman who were alleged victims but who were not victims, who said we are not, you know, emphasizing that they are not victims. We would supplement that with records of the WhatsApp conversations, with whatever CCTV footage is there, and we would actually ask that the state itself drop the charges completely. And if not, then we would demand release on bond until formal charges are brought. And even then, that the client should be free and able to be free pending a conviction. I think, look, the problem is this isn't a normal case where the normal rules apply. Quite frankly, any lawyer who tells you that is BSing, okay? But if this was a normal case with a normal individual, I believe the Tates would absolutely be out. I don't think they wouldn't even face charges. Not when the evidence is that weak, and in fact, the evidence is exculpatory. The evidence actually vindicates them, you know, because it's one thing, you can't prove that you didn't do something, but you can prove that the women were free to come and go as they please vis-a-vis the footage. You can prove that they had the intention to set up the Tates vis-a-vis their own words. You can prove that the prosecutors and the government was going above and beyond to set these people up, even to place people who weren't victims by their own admission as victimless. So those are all provable. And that would be enough, I believe, in a just system that is blind to have the Tates released. But again, this isn't about the evidence.
Now, is this conveniently happening that just recently, and let's get to this part here, recently, look, back in, what was it, April, that they were wiretapping, they were investigating them, they brought them in, they released them. So then he ends up accepting Islam.
He ends up accepting Islam.
And then he comes back and now he's in jail. Does this have anything to do with his decision to take Islam as a way of life?
I think that played a major role. I mean, again, they've waited so long, you know, the alleged incidents in question, I mean, are quite old. The fact that the government chose to wait to really try to bring down his world when he's speaking out proudly as a Muslim. And Europe has its tremendous history of Islamophobia. And I think they're scared of the power and the influence that Islam has. And they see other people following Tate's footsteps and embracing Islam. Just recently we read about another person who was very popular, actually in the Islamophobic side and in the far right side, embracing Islam. I think it should raise a lot of concern for us that the minute he becomes Muslim and starts sharing hadith and start learning his faith, you know, they come out with their full force against him. Again, I believe they're trying to have a chilling effect. And you know, they're trying to prove a point saying, listen, we can shut down the most influential person in the world if we want. It's troubling.
Did you follow the Loon case? It seems similar in a way that there was something. Are you familiar with what happened with his case?
Right.
That he ended up getting charged with something that happened years before his conversion. He accepted Islam, and then they ended up arresting him.
This is a common theme. I mean, right now, to be very frank, I think there is an organized, orchestrated effort to try to take down male Muslim leadership, really in this country and globally. I mean, I think those that can be seen to represent masculine Muslim men in positions of leadership are seen as a threat because we stand against everything that society now worships, you know, from just godlessness and atheism to extreme toxic feminism that is leading to ridiculous amounts of divorce and family problems, to support of deviant lifestyles that had brought about the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for previous nations. You know, I think traditional masculine Muslim men, or those that could become that, because Tate had just embraced Islam, right? So he's definitely not a scholar, definitely not a Muslim leader per se. He's an influential individual who embraced Islam and could be on the path as he studies the deen, as he reforms, as he changes, as he grows, to play a positive role. So there's an organized effort to harm them. And I see that in the US even, in particular as well, whether it's through false accusations, through criminal charges, through random articles. I mean, it happens again and again. And we want to, I think, destroy the idea of righteous, proper, pious male leadership. And part of that is also because we have false standards. I mean, we expect and think people are to be perfect. No, people are to be human. Everybody has their ups and downs and their strengths, but we should all be given the benefit of the doubt. We should take the good, leave the bad, and remember the principles that we want to apply to us, which is we're all innocent until proven guilty.
Have you seen some of these arguments or some of these attacks coming from Muslims who will say, oh, you're defending someone who's X, Y, and Z, who is involved in this, that, and the
other? Oh, absolutely.
And this mm-hmm. is things are things from his past.
Sure, sure. I mean, there's so much toxicity in regards to having these kinds of conversations, and people want to take some of the, and to be frank, Tate's done some horrible things in his past. I'll be very frank with that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, running some of the businesses certainly were not Islamic, whether it's gambling, whether it's involving females. There's things that we as Muslims absolutely reject. But I also believe as he's going on his path as Islam, he himself would absolutely reject. You know, Islam purifies, it destroys what came before. And what we want to do is we want to be barriers to God's mercy to humanity, that only those who are with us and like us and agree with us should have God's mercy, and we forget God's mercy encompasses all things. And on that point, I do want to share one of my favorite hadith, because it's a lesson for all of us. Look, whatever Tate did in his past doesn't come anywhere close to what Wahshi radiallahu anhu did. We all know who Wahshi did. Wahshi was an assassin. He was hired to assassinate the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did so, and then he desecrated his body, and we know how close Hamza radiallahu anhu was to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Wahshi eventually, he realized the truth. He wanted to become Muslim, and so he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, listen, the Quran says believers do not commit shirk, don't worship other than Allah, I've worshipped idols. The Quran says believers don't fornicate, I fornicated. The Quran says believers don't kill the innocent, and I've killed the innocent, I killed your uncle. What hope is there for me to become Muslim? By and far, Wahshi's done worse than what any of us, including Tate, could ever do. You know, from the murder, to the shirk, to the fornication, you name it, he did it.
He did it all, yeah.
He did it all. And yet he went to the Prophet saying, I want to repent. Now, the Prophet could have said, listen, you killed my uncle, get out of here, there's no mercy for you. That's what we would have done, maybe. If we love our uncle, we don't want to see his killer go to paradise. But the Prophet ﷺ was a mercy to all creation. He transcended even these personal differences and the political differences. He waited till the revelation came, and then Allah revealed the verse. Yes, believers do not kill, do not fornicate, do not commit shirk. And whoever does that will get a terrible punishment, except for those who repent and believe and do righteous deeds. not only will Allah forgive them, but He will replace their evil with righteousness.
That is so deep. SubhanAllah. How about the man who killed 99?
And then, exactly.
You got this beautiful situation.
Beautiful story. And you know what? The story with Wahshi doesn't finish. Wahshi actually didn't jump on at that moment. Because he said, these are too many conditions. Okay, I will believe, I will repent, but how do I know my good deeds will make up for it? Mm. So then Allah revealed a second verse of mercy, saying Allah does not forgive shirk, but He forgives anything besides that to whomever He wants. And again, Wahshi didn't jump on it. He said, too many conditions. How do I know Allah wants to forgive me? And then the verse came, tell my servants who wronged themselves, do not give up hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all the sins altogether. So that is the mercy of Allah. He can forgive even the worst of people. He can forgive the person. He went from being cursed for killing the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ and being a fornicator and being a murderer to being radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, because he became a sahabi. So why are we trying to stop Allah's mercy from each other? When somebody becomes Muslim, even if we disagree with their past, we ought to welcome them. And frankly, regardless of their religion, when their rights are trampled upon, we all have to stand vocally against that, because if it's their rights today, it could be our rights tomorrow.
If one, and then you had that example of the man who killed 99 people, then he went and he ended up...
That story is just
99
beautiful.
Now.
He literally killed murder. You cannot get worse than murder. You know, in Islam we have Allah's rights and human rights. And some of the scholars have written that in many circumstances, human rights are actually more dangerous, more critical than Allah's rights. Because Allah, if you violate His rights, if you don't worship Him, if you ignore Him, He's not hurt in the least.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But human beings, we are limited. So if you oppress me, if you hurt me, I'm caused harm. So you can't just worship Allah and hurt me. You know what I'm saying? And yet this person did the worst. He committed murdered 99 people. Went to a scholar, said, can Allah forgive me? And the guy said, he had the cancel culture. Yeah. You know. And if anybody deserved cancel culture, it'd be somebody who killed 99 people. So you can't even blame him. But he said what you and I would say, bro, you killed 99 people. You know, what hope is there? What you and I may say, right, if we didn't know better. So you know what? He's like, well, if I killed 99, I'm going to hell anyway. What's another one? So he killed them too. Killed 100 people. And then he truly, genuinely regretted it.
He went to the other person.
So he went to the other person who was wise, and he said to him, I've killed 100. Is there any hope for me? And the person said, what can stand between you and the mercy of our Lord? But you can't just say you're sorry. You have to take meaningful change. You have to travel. Go to this. You committed all the sins in this city. Go to this other city.
Get away from these bad friends.
Get away from the bad company.
Well,
we say in Arabic, as-sahib sahib, the friend pulls. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said that we're all in the religion of our friends and our companions. And this is the amazing thing, by the way, with Tate. What I noticed is when he became Muslim, he's hanging out with other Muslims. He's going to the masjid. He's starting to talk with different scholars, being in righteous company.
Step by step.
Step by step. Yeah. You know, we put such false standards for people, but he started to take those steps of change. So anyway, this guy was told, you have to go to the city of the righteous. So he starts traveling to the city of the righteous. And on his journey, what happens? We know he passes away. So now the angels come, one of mercy and one of wrath. The mercy wants to pull him to paradise. The wrath wants to take him to Allah's curse and punishment. And they're arguing, right? The angel of wrath and punishment said, listen, he killed 100 people now. We got to take him. The angels of mercy said, no, he repented. We got to take him. So Allah sends an angel to judge between them. And the angel says, measure from the two cities. If he's closer to the bad city, take him back, take him towards Allah's displeasure. And if he's closer to the good city, take him to the city of righteousness. Which city was he closer to?
He just left.
He was closer to the one he just left, which means he should go towards Allah's punishment. But look how merciful Allah is. He told the bad city, move farther. He told the good city, move closer. Allah moved two cities to forgive a sinner who killed 100 people. And then he was closer to the city of mercy and he was forgiven. Look,
that's subhanAllah.
Allah calls you to forgive you. Let's not put any barriers between us and Allah's mercy and others and Allah's mercy. Let's love for others what we love for ourselves. Let's wish good for everyone. And this is the sad thing, because I notice there's a hatred by which we talk about others. You know, it's just people, there's a lot of hatred. I mean, even if the person is as bad as you say, wish for him good. Wish for him a sincere repentance. Wish for him that he becomes a source of good for humanity. What do you
Islam
lose by
is that healing that's going to help that person to go ahead and get to a level that they're going to leave off all of these evil
things and become
the best person that they can in humanity.
That's the track record of Islam. It literally takes drunks, fornicators, polytheists, and makes them amongst the most righteous and pious. You look at Islamic history, some of the most righteous men in Islamic history before Islam were highway robbers. Literally were highway robbers, but they witnessed how those they robbed were behaving and their connection with their religion. They repented.
And that's you have people who are really close to Andrew Tate. Some call him his manager mm-hmm. who also accepted
Mashallah.
Islam. I believe Brother Julius.
Mashallah.
He's someone who also accepted Islam. You can see him really taking mm-hmm. Islam serious and praying in the masjid. And he's talking about also how Andrew Tate is also starting to, anything he comes into, he really takes serious. And now him being, you can see, because now it would have been much harder for him to connect with the Quran.
Sure.
And now this is kind of, Allah and Allah's wisdom. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses him for the deen, for the dawah, that he's sitting him down and having him connect with the Quran. And inshallah, he gets out and he's much stronger in the deen. And
there's benefit. Everything that happens to the believers is of benefit.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly have to believe that, and we do, and I've seen it in my own life. Allah says, don't think it's bad for you. There's always good. We just have to keep that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusuf alayhi salam was falsely accused, thrown in jail. And how was he described by his companions? We see you amongst the righteous. The time in jail gave him an opportunity to manifest his righteousness, to display his righteousness. And then he was liberated. And likewise, when he was liberated in a position of power, his brothers came to him, didn't know it was his brother, but also described him as of the righteous. And that's how we believers have to be righteous, whether in good times or bad times. The Prophet ﷺ said the first people to enter paradise are those who are thankful to Allah in good times and bad times. That's the nature of this world.
So as we close up, tell me now, what would you think is a way forward to facilitate some kind of, because obviously in this Romanian system, there's seems like that justice is not happening, it's not going to happen. Public pressure you talked about, you had some success where you put the media, so we're using the little means that we have, others can also, and then also political pressure. What
Absolutely.
Are some of the things?
So a few things. I mean, first, before I jump into that, I really want to emphasize a point for everybody that's watching, because mashallah, I think you have a great audience. Many are Muslim, many are not. And those that are watching that aren't Muslim sometimes may think Islam isn't for them because they've committed or they commit all these sins that mm-hmm. the Quran advises against. And I want people to understand, the Quran advises you against these sins to protect you, to make you the best version of yourself.
Very important point, yes.
And you know what? No matter how many of these sins you commit, every time you repent to Allah, Allah's willing to forgive you and give you a fresh slate. What I want people to understand, Islam is not just for the righteous. We think that to be Muslim, grow out your beard, go for Umrah, give in charity, it must mean you're righteous. And if you have any sins and shortcomings, then you're a hypocrite for even doing those righteous things. That's a satanic way of thinking. The pure way of thinking is the reality is Islam is for each and every one of us. It is for the sinners. The Prophet himself said, my intercession is for the people of major sins amongst my ummah. Never let your sins and weakness keep you away from Allah, rather let it drive you to Allah. Whatever sins, shortcomings you have, let that be motivation. The Prophet said, good deeds erase the bad deeds. So Islam is for all of us. It is for the sinners. Don't think you're a hypocrite because you do ABC sin and now you're thinking of becoming Muslim, or you're Muslim and you're going to the mosque, or you're going for Umrah. Listen, you're not a hypocrite. You're a human struggling on their journey to Allah. And that's what Allah asks of us. So keep it up. Don't be hopeless. In terms of this, one of the cases, you had asked me about international cases and we didn't get into the detail, but we had a case where the Israelis beat up a Palestinian teenager from Tampa. And they locked him up and they made his face purple and blue. And this is something that happens normally to the Palestinians at the hands of the Israelis. And you know what? Alhamdulillah, we exposed that video in the national media here. We created a firestorm, viewed millions of times, exposing what the Israelis did. And alhamdulillah, within a few days, we actually had them released from the prison. And we had them on a flight back to the U.S. and they testified before Congress and the White House even. That was straightforward. I tell you, when we met with the White House officials, they said this was made possible by the media firestorm you created. Unfortunately, I think what's working to the Romanian officials' advantage is that because Tate's been so demonized by the left, and the left has a lot of influence in the U.S. media, that there's been a lot more silence. You have voices that I've often disagreed with. Tucker Carlson speaking out. Mm-hmm. But, he's unfortunately, a rare voice compared to everyone else that is out there. We need.
Yeah, isn't that? I don't know your point. Isn't that interesting? Tucker Carlson, he's defending a Muslim now.
Right. It's subhanAllah. You know, strange times we live in.
Shout out to Taro.
Tucker, listen, we may have had our disagreement. I don't remember if I've been on his show. I don't think so. But I've been on other Fox News shows, and really, I want to thank Tucker for speaking out because it's very principled. Mm-hmm. That is a principled position, and it makes perfect sense, and it's important. I think more in the media speak out. You know, Romania has to be taught a lesson. This isn't acceptable. Just like we did when that lesbian football player was arrested for having some THC on her, which is ironic because right now I have criminal defense clients who are arrested for the same thing, facing felony charges. So again, even in the U.S., you know, minorities are going to jail for these things, and overseas, we've helped people get out for these things. But the point is, more political pressure, more media pressure, and really we ask people in a position of influence globally to do what they can, because I'm afraid of the chilling effect. We don't want this message that, you know, a popular person becomes Muslim, and then just within days almost, he's thrown in jail, and the world isn't able to do anything. And then the next person in a position of influence is afraid to speak out. And the reality is, let's be real, you know, everyone's got some sort of skeleton in their closet. I'm not saying, you know, I certainly don't believe the accusations are true, but no one is perfect, especially if you've grown up as a non-Muslim. You've been, you know, drinking and clubbing and this and that, you know. In fact, even in the U.S., let's be real, there's so many felony crimes on the books that they say the average American commits at least 3 felonies. So I don't want this idea out there that if you embrace Islam, they can come after you and destroy you, and the ummah will not stand with you. We have to stand united as an ummah for justice as Muslims, but even non-Muslims, as people who are committed to the rule of law and justice, we have to stand for the principles of liberty and justice and demand due process in the case of the Tates.
Yeah, and we've also, this is a very important point, because it's not just because Andrew Tate, we've also spoken out, you have other people, Afia Siddiqui, for instance. That's a whole different...
It's a heartbreaking, the Afia Siddiqui case...
That's a woman now who's...
It's a heartbreaking case. And honestly, shame on the Pakistani government for not taking an active role in seeking her freedom. In fact, they played the opposite role. And in the hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, in the decade after 9/11, so many Muslims were sold, literally sold to the U.S. government for money. Mm-hmm. You know, $5,000, $10,000 a head. Some just recently released from Guantanamo after decades without charges. It's a reminder that this dunya is a test, because the injustice that happened, especially towards the Muslim community in the decades since 9/11, is heartbreaking and enraging. And Afia Siddiqui, I mean, she's been in horrible conditions right now, incarcerated in Texas. Again, the charges don't make sense. The evidence doesn't support it. She herself, a victim of injustice, of torture, of abuse, a well-respected sister. You have her, you have Imam Amin, you know, also facing false charges and decades in jail. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. You have the Holy Land Foundation.
Yeah, individuals. We spoke with Miko Pillard about this.
Exactly. Also, yeah. I mean, they supported charities that the UN and the US aid was supporting, but they've been locked up, some of them, for decades. So, you know, Allahul Musta'an, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a means of liberty, of justice, Amen. For humanity. And we can have a positive impact. I mean, here in Florida, we had Imam Abu Tawbah. You know, I visited him in jail. He was locked up. His legs were in chains. He was bloody, you know, facing 20 years in jail, allegedly for supporting terrorism. And the community was scared to stand with him. Alhamdulillah, we stood with him. And through Allah's tawfiq, took the stand and told the judge, Your Honor, if you're going to keep him in jail for 20 years, may as well take me and every other Muslim. Because the evidence you're using against him could apply to all of us. Possession of Islamic books, supporting the Quran. I said, just lock us all up then. You just destroy, rip the constitution in pieces, lock us all up. Alhamdulillah, the judge released him. And if you speak to Imam Abu Tawbah now, and I think legal experts, a lot of them say, had we not been as a community courageous enough to stand with him and take the stand, he might still be in jail to this day. We have to stand against injustice, be fearless. And remember, the greatest act of striving in the path of Allah is to speak truth to tyranny. And that's what we do, inshallah, as devout Muslims, as Muslim lawyers, and we'll continue to do so. We ask Allah to grant justice and liberty to the Tate brothers and to all those that are wrongfully incarcerated. and make us a means of peace, justice, and guidance in this world.
Thank you, brother.
Habibi, it's always a pleasure to have you.
Likewise.
It's a pleasure.
Salaam alaikum. You can't take it with you when you go. Or you can't take this with you when you go. And you can't take this with you when you go. Brothers and sisters, we're all going to depart from this life. And all of our material possessions to our money will stay behind. But your reoccurring investment in the Deen Center will continue to grow even when you leave this life. So go ahead and make that reoccurring investment in a masjid and mega dawah center that will benefit you in this life and in the next. Click the link below, donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeenshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.